Let's make some magic happen, EOB Mafia. Welcome back to another five-star installment of Evolution of Brand. I'm Jason Sircone, and today on episode 151, I'm sharing the mic with author and life reinvention coach Karen Freeland for an up-close look at how she's built her personal brand and, as her title suggests, reinvented her life. As we tap into the evolution of Karen's brand today, we'll be discussing why Karen decided she needed to take a different path in her life, why you need to run towards your passion and not towards your comfort zone, the undeniable need for being authentic in everything you do, and Karen's three-step process for taking your personal brand to the next level. All of this and so much more is ready and waiting for you on episode 151 of Evolution of Brand, right after a quick word from yours truly. You want to know the biggest problem with podcast guesting, EOB Mafia? Too many people are overcomplicating it. Guests are joining podcasts and going into sales mode, they're treating it like it's a performance, and they're not taking advantage of the incredible networking and relationship building elements that make the podcast community so great. Now me, I'm all about doing things right, doing things strategically, and doing things with ease. I've narrowed podcast guesting down to three core fundamentals that will allow you to leverage podcast guest appearances as a primary piece of your brand building initiatives. If you want to attract new clients, generate more revenue, enhance your network, and achieve undeniable results, then you need to check out what I have in store for you today. Visit podcastguestingsimplified.com to learn more. Karen Freeland, welcome to Evolution of Brand. Say hello to the EOB Mafia and share a time that you listened to yourself instead of what others told you was right, and it led to a major accomplishment.
Ooh, all right. Well, hello, Jason, and hello to the EOB Mafia. It is an honor to be here with you today. A time when I didn't listen to others, that's a lot for me. I'm not really great at following rules or doing much by the book. So I would have to pick, though, writing my memoir. There were a lot of people who told me I was crazy. I'm sharing too much details. What are you thinking? And it has now gone on to win a gold medal from Reader's Favorite. I had the opportunity to walk the stage and accept that award in Miami this past November. And it really has been a freeing and unleashing of who I truly am. And I had been stifling for years. And so, yeah, I would say just going for it and writing my book.
I was going to save this till the end, but we got to talk about this now. But no, especially since you led off with such strength in talking about this book that you've created. When I first met you and I heard the title of this book, I remember laughing out loud because it was awesome. And I think that title has led to a lot of the success you've had, because clearly it's a big attention getter. So
yes,
give us some insight into the creative process and putting this book together. How did this name hit you? And what really made all of these authentic stories pour out onto the pages as you put it together?
Ooh, okay. So first of all, don't let the title scare you, everyone. It's called The Ins and Outs of My Vagina, A Penetrating Memoir. And if the video is out, you'll get to see the book. But you can get it anywhere the books are sold digitally. It's a gorgeous cover designed by the fabulous Libby Kingsbury. This book really, I never planned on being a writer. That was never in the cards for me. I had no intentions of being a writer. I wrote some like teenage angst poetry in my bedroom in my diary during my days. But like, really, you know, aside from what I had to do in English class, it wasn't like I was writing stories. And it wasn't until I was pregnant about 7 months in that I had a really hilarious experience at the OB, and I write all about it in chapter 30, all looped up with nowhere to go. So check that out. But basically, it was my husband's idea. And he said, "You're so clueless about your body. You should write a book and call it I Don't Know My Vagina so that you can help other women who are clueless too." And I thought, well, that's dumb. Who would read a book about that? And no, I'm not going to call it that. And it's the whole thing just seemed dumb to me. But of course, like all great ideas, there was a seed that was planted. And I started thinking about it and really thinking about all the times I have felt alone, ashamed, like my body's broken, like my body isn't doing what everybody else's body is doing. And I thought, if I can share my stories and I can help even a handful of women go, oh, I'm normal. This is okay. Other people have these experiences too. Well, then I've done my job, right? Like that's time well spent. And I started writing the stories and realized, oh my gosh, I'm actually a good author. Like, this is actually a really funny book. How can I hold this back from others? And I was going to sit on it. I mean, I think from the time that I finished writing it in 2020 until we actually published it in 2021, I mean, there was like a 4 to 6 month gap there where I just sat and was like, I don't know if I can actually share these things though. They're so personal, you know, and that didn't really come easy at all for me to just tell people about my most intimate moments with my body and my husband. And he was a little like, oh, I didn't know you were really going to tell all this in the book. But, you know, after discussing it, he was very supportive and he's all on board. But the title obviously changed from I Don't Know My Vagina to The Ins and Outs. And I wish I had some glamorous story about how I created this title. But in all honesty, I was in a sweaty wrestling gym while my son was practicing, talking to another mom. And that's how we came up with the title. So it was just by happenstance that I was talking to this person. She had some thoughts. We kind of made it gel and my editor loved it. And I was like, all right, that's it.
Go home. That's such an incredible story. I love hearing it again. I know when we talked for the first time, I was like, yeah, we got to get this on the show because this is phenomenal stuff. But I think something that you pointed at as you were telling that story is you learned so much about how those personal stories can connect with people because it's so relatable. And I think that's where we are headed as marketers, as brand builders, as people that are really looking to make an impact on the people in our audience and the people we connect with. That authenticity is huge. And when you hold back and you don't bring those types of stories to the surface, you're costing yourself opportunities to make those very unique and powerful connections. Because like I said, so many people can relate to exactly what you're going through. Now, me as a man, I may not relate 100% to what you're going through as a woman, but I can still find a lot of inspiration in how your story has impacted so many people. It's tremendous.
Well, and you're a father, right? So you've got a daughter, and there's going to be certainly things that I share, especially in the beginning of the book around puberty and all that kind of stuff, that you're going to be a more sympathetic father, just having that understanding and that appreciation. But I think you're right. You know, with storytelling, people want to understand how it applies to their life. And so tips and tricks are great. Like, everybody loves the checklists and the do this or don't do that. But at the end of the day, it's like, how does that apply to me? And when you can hear it told through someone else's story, you're able to pick out, I think, you know, how you can better apply that to your life and make it tangible. It becomes very real. So I hope that people are having that experience, not only with my books, but, you know, the clients that I work with and coaching and helping them to reinvent their life, that as they hear my stories and the challenges that I've gone through in corporate and in reinventing my life, they're like, oh, well, if she can do it, I can do it too. And it becomes very empowering, I think.
Absolutely, it does. And that's something that I really want to dig in with today, is because there's so many people out there, whether they're listening to this podcast, whether they're listening to any form of media, probably thinking that same type of thought in regards to where they can go. And they may not be happy. They may want to make some transitions in their life. And I know, Karen, you had to make those decisions. And that was why I really wanted to have this conversation with you, because what you've done to change the course of your life and your personal brand and your career is truly something that so many people want to do, but they hold themselves back. So your story, I think, is going to point them in the right direction and give some inspiration. So take us back in the timeline. Where did things start to change in your mind? And why did you feel it was so important to make this change from being this go-getter, always working, could not punch out and hit the clock for the weekend? Like, when did things change in your mind when you knew you had to make this transition?
Oh yeah. Easy. Okay. So 2019, I had been in corporate for about 13 or so years. chasing the paychecks, chasing the titles, right? Like I would get a new job and within a week I was already like, what's the next job for me? What's the next pay bump? Like it was never good enough. You know, you get that dopamine hit and you're excited for a minute and you feel glad and like, wow, I made it to this level. And then it was already like this drive. And I don't even know if drive is the right word. It was really sort of psychotic, you know, just like, I got to get to the next level. I got to get to the next level. And so I had these blinders on where I just was looking ahead and I was closing out everything, you know, my marriage, my children, my friends, I was isolated. My spirituality, I didn't take very seriously. Like there was nothing mattered but work and the numbers on my paycheck and the title that I was associating with that. And I don't know where that came from. My parents didn't work like that. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad worked, but he, you know, he didn't like, wasn't crazy like I was. I don't know. It just was something in me. And in 2019, we had two deaths in the family within 4 months of each other. Now they were older, but what stung was that they were the end of a generation. So after that, it became very acutely aware that, oh my gosh, my parents are up next. Oh shit, I'm after them. Like it hit me hard. And I thought, what am I doing with my life? What was I here for? What is my purpose? And all these really big, really heavy questions just felt like they were barreling down on top of me. But I didn't have answers for them. I didn't know why I was here. I couldn't point to it. And my husband had this beautiful life mission about how he was going to raise our children to be these upstanding citizens, yada, yada. And I'm like, I don't connect with that. Like for me, just being a mom, that's not enough, you know? And that's not a judgment on anyone else. Other people are perfectly happy being a mom full time. And that's beautiful. That's your purpose. Be that. It was not fulfilling me just being a mom. And so, but my work wasn't fulfilling me either because I was cutting out so many people and so many things that were important for the name of success. And really through that journey and doing the self-discovery, I call it turn inward, really turning inward and looking inside going, but what do I want? And going after that instead of listening to all the noise started to get me to a point where I could make some changes. And so from there, I decided I'm going to start writing a book. Like, and I didn't know that I was going to even publish it. I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew I needed some level of creativity because creating PowerPoints every day was not cutting it. Like that was not giving me fulfillment. And so I started writing this book and it was like, oh my gosh, this is exciting. This is fun. I'm actually doing this. I'm taking life by the dreams, you know, like this is exciting. And one thing just started to lead to another. And it slowly built over time where all of a sudden I had a book, I had an editor, I was starting to build a website, which we can talk about because it's like, what do you put on a website when you don't really have anything yet, you know? And so that was really kind of an interesting challenge to create a brand of nothing, out of nothing, that it just didn't exist yet. And so, I mean, I don't know how far you want me to take this, but from there, the universe played a special role and ended up severing my corporate job. So I got laid off in August of 2020.
Okay.
And it was beautiful because, of course, I had a deadline and I had said by the end of 2021, I'm going to leave, or excuse me, 2020, I'm going to leave with or without a severance package. But Jason, let's be real. I would have got to December and I probably would have said, oh, but my bonus is in 3 months. Mm-hmm. I better just hang out a little bit longer with that paycheck, right? Yep. So the universe took over and was like, we're done here, girlfriend. You got to fly, go. And that's really when things for me started to take off very quickly in a different direction.
That script is so different for every one of us, but you and I did not know this. You and I share very similar backgrounds and I had the exact same thing happen very unexpectedly.
Oh,
and it put me in a position to where I knew I was already working on something on the side, but I also knew that I had no intention of leaving my company hanging. I had the entire script written of how I was going to help them transition to a new manager and help them do it and do it on my own dime because I cared that much. And then one day they canned me and that completely rewrote everything. And that's when I realized it was time for me to start running at the things that make me happy, much like you did too. And that's the thing, when you start to think about it from a different mindset and start accentuating the positives, I knew I had a wealth of experience that I could draw from, and I can utilize that to help others grow their brand. And I was working in a different world at that time, but at the same time, I was utilizing the same principles and philosophies that I always believed in when it came to having strong communication, making sure you're making strong connections and building powerful relationships. Like, that's something I've always believed in. And I feel that drives so much of business, whether you're working for a company or whether you're out on your own. So that story and those thoughts that you had too of what's this all about? What am I doing with my life? I think we all have those types of come to Jesus conversations with ourselves.
Yes.
And when you can actually embrace that conversation and start setting goals to make the positive changes you want, that's the magic. That's where it all takes place. So tell me why you believe, and this is something obviously you and I have experienced this.
Yep.
You've more than likely experienced this with the people you work with. Why do we try to spend so much time running from happiness and instead running towards the things that keep us locked in that comfort zone where we can never fully unleash our potential?
Oh, well, there's a lot. And I think it's different for everybody, but certainly much of it is habit, right? It's just, that's the way we've always done things. So if we never stop and question, or if we never set our intentions at the beginning of our corporate career, then we end up just going wherever life takes us. Like, I was actually an actress, believe it or not, for my first years out of college. That's what I was doing full time. I was dancing and acting and I was having a ball. But I came up with a harebrained scheme for how I was going to make money. I said, I know, I'll go into corporate for 1 year. I'll save all my money and that's it. And then I'm out, right? That was my intention. But when I got in there and I started making money and going, oh, I can make $1,000+ in commission for a month. Hello, let's stay here. Why would I leave this? And I started spending all my money on coach purses instead of saving. You know, I never went back to the acting. So I lost my intention. I never had that full intention set for why am I really here in corporate? What am I doing? Am I doing this to give my children a great life? Am I doing this to set myself up for retirement? Am I doing this for status? Like, what is the reason? So I think that's one of the things, you know, once you get into that habit, if you don't stop and pause, forget about it. I think the other thing is we're just distracted. We are a distracted human race. We have got our face in our phones. We're answering emails 24/7. We're watching TV or streaming services. Like, there's just always something going on. We've actually cut cable. Like, we don't have streaming services. Like, we started taking the distractions out so that we could live a more intentional life and not be as distracted. And I guess the other reason is fear, right? There's a lot of fear from my clients when they first come to me about making a change, about making a pivot, because they don't know if they're worthy. Like, who am I to start this business? I've always done it this way. Or, you know, oh my gosh, I spent all this money on this education and now I'm going to throw away my degree. What are people going to think of me? I'm scared. I'm afraid of what my family will think. They paid for this college degree. It's like, they're not living your life. You're living your life. You have to wake up every day and live with the consequences. So you can either stay the same or you can change and deal with a little fear because it's normal. We all have fear. But push through it and wait till you see what's on the other side.
It's incredibly powerful. And I know that in doing all of this, you've developed a 3-step system that helps people do this with clarity. Yes. And as I was getting to understand that system a little bit more, one thing that stood out that I want to talk about real quick before you explain how that system works and what people should be aware of, is that you pointed out that you need to understand who you are first, and being who you are and being authentic is where it all begins. I feel that message is so important because we live in a world where a lot of the content that's being produced, it's being encouraged that you follow a trend. You grab a trending audio and you attach it to a video. You do a meme because everybody else is doing it. You dance on TikTok. You dance on Instagram. I know you said that when in the message you sent me, I'll never do that.
Yep.
I'll never do it either. Not my jam, not my thing. No one wants to see it either. I guarantee you that. So
you never know.
But let's talk about that for a second. But yeah. No, I know for sure. But let's talk about for a second the fact that we're grabbing onto these trending audios and trending clips and trying to copy what other people are doing because it gets engagement, it gets likes, it builds the vanity metrics. Yeah. But inside, it kills you inside, especially if it's something you're not proud of. So tell us, why is it more important to pay attention to your authentic self versus following all these trends?
Well, one, it doesn't work, right? It might work in getting likes, but in terms of like actually building a sustainable brand and getting clients, it doesn't work from what I've seen. People want to buy from someone that they know, they like, they trust, right? And if they don't know, like, and trust you because you're doing exactly what everyone else is doing and you're looking cookie cutter, it's not going to pay off in the long run. You might get some short wins, but long term, and like you said, you feel icky inside. It just doesn't feel good. And you start to resent yourself or your business. And I have seen that myself. You know, when I first started doing a lot of podcasts about the book, I would get people who would be like, hey, I got this BDSM show or this like sex podcast. And I'd be like, okay, so what does that have to do with me? Like, I mean, yes, don't get me wrong. I talk about sex in the book, but you know, I'm talking about it in the context of like a long-term marriage and I'm not yucking anyone's yum, right? But I'm just saying, like, for me, I had to look at my values and go, but what is the brand and the legacy that I'm leaving? And I hadn't really prepared for a lot of these thoughts because I thought the book was mostly going to be, hey, look, I had a dream. I followed it. You can do that too. But people didn't just want to talk about the reinvention. They wanted to talk about the content of the book. And so I very quickly realized, whoa, a lot of other people are going on these shows, but I can't do what other people are doing. I have to do what works and is aligned with Karen's purpose. What are those things? And set those boundaries so that I can sleep at night and I can be comfortable and I won't resent myself or my business for the things that I put out there.
I feel that's so important in the moment, but also for the long-term legacy of the content you're leaving behind. If you're on your deathbed and you look back and you can't feel proud of the content that you're leaving behind for the world to consume after you've floated off this world, that's not a good feeling to end with.
No.
Not that I'm there, but I'd have to imagine that is not going to be easy.
No. And I've done a few things that I'm like, crap, what if my kids see this? Is this really how I wanted it to go? Okay, I was trying to do it in the name of comedy and all right, I gotta get that in check. So look, it's not to say you won't maybe make some mistakes, but right. You're gonna have fewer mistakes if you set your intentions up front and you get really clear on who you are and how you wanna be known.
Could not agree more. So Karen, take a moment to break down your three-step process and how it's impacted your clients and everything that you continue to do to build your personal brand.
Okay, sure. So the first step is to create, and I'll break each one of these down, but let me just give you the system first. So it's create. Step two is communicate and connect. And step three is clarify and captivate. So essentially it goes like this. You want to start by creating that personal brand. And I'm using the word personal brand because I think everyone who is, especially small business owners, right? You already have a brand for your business, right? You picked out the logo, you picked out the colors and the fonts, and that's all great. That's important stuff. But you yourself, as the leader of this business, have a personal brand. I had a very strong personal brand when I was in corporate, right? So even if you were in a career, you need to be seen as a thought leader and an expert in your department. But so many people I see only share content about their company. So they actually become more of the company brand than a standalone personal brand, which is what you really need because you may or may not be in that company forever. I may or may not have this business forever. Who knows what the future may bring? We all change with seasons of life. So you want to be able to have such a strong personal brand that you are standing on your own and you can pivot and shift in different directions separate from the company you work for or the business you've created. With that said, what I like to have my clients do is create 5 to 7 adjectives that describe them, how they want people to talk about them when they're not in the room, because that's really your brand. Right? We all think, oh, well, I'm this, I'm that, I'm witty, I'm smart, I'm whatever. But you talk to somebody else and they go, well, she's a team player. She's X, Y, Z. And it's like, oh, well, do you want to be seen as that? And maybe those are great words. But if you want to be seen as this, like, you know, standout edgy leader and people are seeing you as a meek team player, well, we got some work to do on your brand, right? So it's not just coming up with these words, but then gut checking them with someone else going like, hey, do you see me this way? Do these words make sense to you? Why or why not? And then we can get some feedback to shape that and get really clear on your brand and your brand voice. And the brand voice are those messages that you're sharing, what you're saying and speaking out into the universe, right? Because it's one thing just to have a brand that looks really great on paper, but how do you translate that brand into content, into what you're sharing and communicating, your messages? And so once we do that, we're ready to communicate. And I see so many people make the mistake of skipping over create and they just go right to the message sharing. They just start getting out on Instagram or on LinkedIn and they share whatever article comes by their desk or whatever the hot trending topic is without thought about, well, is this what I want my brand to stand for? I mean, you will never see me share about Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. I don't care about it. I don't want to know about it. I don't play in that arena. And it's not of relevance or concern to me or my business. So why would I ever spend time having discussions about that, right? But a lot of people don't put that much thought into it. So they just go out and start communicating without the create step. So anyway, once you start to communicate, right, it's all about implementing the brand and making sure that you're consistent in every interaction, right? You don't have to post every single day, right? But come up with something that is consistent so the algorithm learns your cadence of how often you share and it shows your stuff appropriately. I tell people all the time, don't accept connections that aren't a fit, don't accept opportunities that aren't a fit, right? Like how I've been saying no to podcasts, and focus on the channels where you need to communicate your message that will be most beneficial. We just got done talking about like TikTok. We're not going to be dancing on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Guess what? There may be people out on TikTok, but I can do a lot better in less amount of time on LinkedIn where all these high achieving burnt out career women are hanging out than by going and dancing on TikTok. Absolutely. So you don't have to be all the places. You just have to be a couple of right places, communicate your brand really well, and you're going to have a ton of success and a better ROI. Then it's all about connecting, right? Really making connections with the people who can help your brand, who can support your brand. I'll give you an example. I just buddied up with a relationship coach and we're doing a big summit that's going to be coming up to rehab people's relationships. Such a perfect power partner for me, right? Great person to team up with and gives me access to a whole bunch of new potential clients. Again, we got to make the right alliances. And I see people all the time betting on the wrong horses, right? Mm-hmm. Choosing the wrong people. So we get really smart about who we need to connect you with and which clients are going to be able to best serve if you're a business owner. And then we get into clarifying, because let's be real. Who gets things right on the first try? No one, right? Very few people put a brand out and bam, it takes off like hotcakes. You know, when I first started my brand, it was really interesting. I was focused on the pain, right? I had been through the midlife crisis pain. And so all of my imagery was really dark and it had this like purpley color, but lots of black. And I would show images of women frustrated, head in their hands. And people kept telling me like, Karen, this is like, you're a Debbie Downer. Like, then I hear you talk and you're so energizing and uplifting. Like, what the heck? There's like, it's not matching up for me. A discrepancy. That was the word I was looking for. So I reinvented my company brand to more match my personal brand. And I got rid of the purple and I brought in some pink and some blue and some more lively colors. And really change the imagery that I use. Happy women who've already achieved the transformation, who aren't still stuck, But I didn't know that going in. So you're going to get it wrong. That's okay. But let's be really present to feedback and to listening to where we're being guided so that we can quickly pivot when we need to if something isn't working. And once you clarify everything and you dial it in, now's the fun part, because now you're just captivating your audience, right? People are going to naturally gravitate to you because you're so strong and so committed in that personal brand that they just want to be around you. They want your products and services. And I don't want to say it's easy street, because we can never rest on our laurels, but it certainly gets easier the longer you've been out there with that consistent message.
Karen, it's so hard for me to even add to that, because you said so many important things that I feel are relevant in regards to stop trying to communicate your message to everyone thinking that it's cookie cutter and that everyone needs what you're selling. Stop trying to make relationships just for the sake of making relationships. Make sure it makes sense for what you're trying to build. Communicate in the proper fashion and be thorough. There's your message is phenomenal. I love the fact that you're able to break that down so poignantly and give us a lot to think about. Sometimes we get locked into this mindset of perfectionism where we have to do everything just right out of the gates. And that's impossible. And that's putting way too much pressure on yourself. If you do have that type of mentality coming into any endeavor, more than likely you're going to fall flat. And if you can't accept that that's going to happen, that's typically why so many people walk away before they've ever broken through.
Oh, so true. I see it all the time, right? And they're giving up 5 minutes before the miracle. And it's like, No, don't quit now. Like, you were so close. We just had to make a couple of changes. So it is possible. And that's why I always say, like, get support, right? Whether it's a coach like myself or Jason, I know he helps with people with their brand. I mean, there's so many people out there who can be in your corner and help you avoid the pitfalls and the mistakes and give you the gut check that you need to get it pretty close. And then you can just make those fine tune it as you go.
Karen, I know we could dive into this even more deeply and really go nuts. But since we're at our time today, what is one piece of actionable advice that you can give to the listener that really wants to sink their teeth into all of this, start running from that comfort zone, start making that breakthrough, and ultimately putting their personal brand on the map? What would you say is step one?
Oh, well, just believe in yourself, right? I mean, because that's really the only thing that's holding you back is your own belief and your capability to do this. You're not the first person to take this leap. You won't be the last. So just go for it. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Very beautifully said. And a mic drop moment to send us out. Karen, This has been so much fun. Thank you so much for bringing so much insight to Evolution of Brand today. I'm going to speak for the mafia and say we want more. So tell us how we connect with you. We check out your book and we get more access to the world of Karen Freeland.
Yes, please go grab the book, The Ins and Outs of My Vagina, a penetrating memoir, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever books are sold. And I would love to invite everyone to just come hang out with me in my Facebook group, Successful Working Women Rocking Reinvention. I'm sure we can put the link in the show notes.
Oh, yes.
And come join me, because that's where I spend most of my time. You're going to get access to all kinds of motivation, tools, community, and other women who are there rocking their reinvention as well.
Well, as always, life will be easy for the EOB Mafia, because as Karen said, those links can be found in the show notes so you can connect with Karen today. Once again, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on Evolution of Brand today.
My pleasure. Thank you, everyone.
EOB Mafia, thank you for taking this ride with me and Karen today. To get more from this episode, visit evolutionofbrand.com, click on the archives link, then go to episode 151. Or head straight to jasoncircone.com/Karen Freeland for instant access to links, resources, and show notes. If you'd like to show your support for Evolution of Brand, rate, review, follow, and subscribe. It is all appreciated. But above all else, if you got something from today's episode, please recommend it to one person in your circle who you know will feel the impact as well. You've been listening to Evolution of Brand. Until our paths cross again, this is Jason Sircone reminding you to never stop evolving.